We've all heard the phrase as useless as a chocolate teapot, but is there any basis to this? Well, of course there is. We know that chocolate will melt, and a melty teapot is the last thing you need. But what about a really thick chocolate teapot? For this week's Kitchen Science, Ben and Dave set out to answer the question, how useless is a chocolate teapot?
Well, to be honest, I have absolutely no idea how useful a chocolate teapot is. So in the best traditions of kitchen science, I thought we'd try some experiments to find out.
Well, before we get started with our chocolate-based experiments, could you tell me, and now I think I can guess, but why is it that a chocolate teapot would be so useless?
Well, the reason why chocolate is so nice to eat is that its point at which it melts is very similar to the temperature of your mouth, so it should melt in your mouth. So if you're going to put boiling water into it, it should melt really quickly and just collapse.
So I guess what we need to find out is how thick the walls of the chocolate teapot need to be in order to not melt through by the time the tea is brewed. How are we going to find this out?
We could just make lots of chocolate teapots, but that would take ages and use a really ridiculous amount of chocolate. So instead, what I've got is a whole series of tubes with different amounts of chocolate in the bottom of each one. I'm going to pour boiling water over them and see how long they take to melt.
So the tubes aren't actually sealed at the bottom, there's just a plug of chocolate in there of different thicknesses. And in theory, at least one of these thicknesses of chocolate should stay solid long enough to brew a cup of tea.
Well, because I've got no idea how thick this has got to be, I've gone for a very wide range of different thicknesses of chocolate, from about 10 millimetres up to about 80 millimetres, so one of those ought to survive the brewing time.
And it looks to me like you've chosen to go for dark chocolate. Why have you chosen that over, say, milk or white chocolate?
Well, milk chocolate's got a lot of milk fat in it, and milk fat's got a lower melting temperature than cocoa fat. So dark chocolate ought to melt at a higher temperature, so it ought to be slightly better than milk chocolate for this purposes.
So you've given ourselves the best chance just by using dark chocolate?
That was my plan, yes.
OK, so I guess the first thing we need to do in that case is boil a kettle and pour some water into each of these tubes.
I'll go and get that kettle.
So while Dave goes to get the kettle, I'm just going to have a look at these tubes of chocolate. And they are just plastic tubes open at both ends with a thick plug of chocolate. Now, I don't think these are going to last very long when we pour boiling water in. And here comes Dave now with a steaming hot kettle, so we can try it out. So, Dave, are you going to put them in any particular order?
Well, I figured I'd start on the thickest plug of chocolate first, because that should last the longest, so it's probably fairest to start with that one. And I'll try and put about the same amount of water on top of each one, roughly, so it's a fair test.
So there isn't a different weight of water that could just push the plug of chocolate out?
Yeah, that's the idea.
So what is it about chocolate? I know lots of people enjoy eating it, and I certainly won't complain, but what is it that gives it that melt-in-the-mouth property?
Well, basically just the fats in the cocoa butter happen to have a melting point, which is very similar, just a bit below your mouth temperature, so it will melt in your mouth.
So what else is in chocolate? I know you've already mentioned cocoa fats and milk fats, but surely there's more to it than that.
Well, a good quality dark chocolate is basically just cocoa fat, some cocoa solids, which are the things which aren't fat from a cocoa bean, and lots of sugar. If you're getting into a milk chocolate, then that's got a lot of milk fats in it as well. And in Britain, they tend to add some vegetable oils as well, which the people in the continent don't really believe makes it proper chocolate.
OK, so what about white chocolate?
Well, I think that's got the cocoa butter in it, the cocoa fats, but with much less cocoa solids, so that it hasn't got the dark colour.
OK, well, there's just been a bit of activity with these tubes. The tube with the thinnest plug of chocolate in has just dropped some chocolate onto the floor and emptied itself. In fact, that's really not a very pleasant thing to watch, the way it's just oozing chocolate into a dollop on the floor. Dave, how long did that take?
Well, that seems to have been about 4 minutes, which is not bad for only a 10mm piece of chocolate. It's a lot better than you'd expect, really.
And 4 minutes is actually about as long as you need to brew a cup of tea.
Indeed. So maybe chocolate is a better teapot material than we'd first thought.
So now that we know that a thickness of chocolate, which is only about 10mm or so, about a centimetre, should be thick enough to make a teapot out of, shall we make a teapot?
Yeah, I think so. We'll probably make one with rather thicker walls than that, because a teapot's quite a lot bigger than the 40mm tubes we're using. So maybe we'll go for about a 20mm wall and see what happens.
Excellent. And I do like my tea quite strong, so it would be good to be able to brew it for that little bit longer. So how are we going to make a teapot?
Well, my plan is to basically take a bowl, fill it with chocolate, and then put a second bowl inside it to make it the hole to put the tea in, and then let that set, and then drill a hole in and add a spout.
How on earth are you going to make the spout?
Well, my plan is to get a tube of greaseproof paper, kind of splodge as much chocolate as I can around that, maybe with another layer of greaseproof paper to hold that chocolate in, let that set, and then kind of saw it up a bit and make it approximately circular and glue it onto the front of the bowl, which we've already made.
This doesn't sound a particularly scientific approach, Dave. Are you sure this is appropriate for kitchen science?
Well, if it's going to be a teapot, it has to look like a teapot, doesn't it? So we can't make a chocolate bowl and see how useful that is. So we've got to make it with a spout and ideally a handle as well and see what happens.
Dave and I are now going to go into his kitchen and make ourselves a chocolate teapot. We'll come back to you later on in the show to let you know how good it was at brewing some tea.
So keep listening to see if they enjoyed their chocolate teapot tea party or just ended up with a sticky mess to clean up.